The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded and broadcast on Wednesday, June the 24th, 2026, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Reform Friends of Israel. And the time is 9:15 a.m. over here in London, England, and it is nice to be talking to you again. Incidentally, the Saturday I'm Talking to You show that I did that wasn't planned, I was happy with it because it came in at about half an hour, which is really the length of time these shows should be. I feel sorry for people who've listened to me drone on for over an hour in the previous ones. I hope these haven't been too boring for you, but I try to get as much news and what have you into as short a space of time as possible so that you can get on with your day and I can get on with mine. And I don't like these long, drawn-out shows, so we're going to try and keep it to half an hour, that sort of time scale from now on, and see how we get on. So here is what I found of interest in the news since last week's show. So I'm not necessarily going to delve into every article, I'm just going to go off memory, because sometimes the headlines are pretty much all that you need. Been talking about a super El Nino, was it El Nino? Well, now people are calling it a super El Nino. NASA has confirmed that it's currently underway, an El Nino, whether it's super or not, and apparently it's affecting the whole world. Funnily enough, today it's forecast to be the hottest day in Britain's history, or England, or where I am in England, in the south, something like that. We will see what the figures pull in when the day ends. But when I woke up this morning at about 6 o'clock, I looked at my barometer and it was 86 degrees Fahrenheit at 6 a.m. and that is very hot for this country. There was a bit of a breeze in the air yesterday morning, and I was able to get the temperature right down by opening all the windows and stuff, but today there's no breeze, so I got it down to 84 and now it's back up to 86. Okay, World Cup news. We have a footballer called Roy Keane, who's become known as a more controversial pundit. He's had a go at these, they call them WAGs, which is an acronym for wives and girlfriends of football players, and says that, you know, you get a lot of them walking around with their boyfriend or husband's name on the back of their football shirt that the wife or girlfriend wears, and some of them won't even be together with the footballer in a year's time. A Ghanaian witch doctor claimed that he had put a curse on Harry Kane, England's probably best player and captain, striker, plays for Bayern Munich. He, well, I think he said he was going to break his leg, something like that, but it wasn't actually necessary because England played Ghana yesterday in the World Cup. It was their second match and they got a 0-0 draw, so I feel sorry for anybody who is at work nursing hangovers today after being out to watch the game that didn't start until 9 p.m. UK time. When you sort of endure some drab 0-0 draw the next day and you had a bit too much to drink the night before, you think, why did I bother, you know? There's a newsreader who I grew up watching, I believe on the BBC, called Jan Leeming, who caused controversy last year just for putting up a post about an unpleasant lunch or dinner she had in a restaurant where kids were making a lot of noise, and she felt that parents should have more control over their kids so that they didn't intrude on other people in the restaurant, which I completely agree with. And of course, you can imagine the sort of backlash that got from people who have kids who believe that their kids, what was it that Bill Hicks used to say? I hate people who think that you want their kids in your life, something like that. And they don't, you know, I'm not running around advocating hitting children, things like that. But if your children can't control themselves in the restaurant, if you can't trust them to not start screaming and shouting, running around, what have you, I don't think you should be taking them in there. But no restaurants will do anything about that, because I've been in so many with unruly children and they do nothing. Okay, going back to holidays I had in Turkey in the mid-80s. Started going there. The first time went there, I think was 86, went to a place called Kuşadasi, and a loaf of bread was 3p. It was really just at the very start of the tourist thing. The main things that they would sell are, you could get Lacoste, fake Lacoste t-shirts that worked out at £2 each equivalent back then. And it was fun going over there. But the thing is you had to be so careful when you were walking around, because motorcycles, what have you, they come from all directions. Didn't matter, they'd be on pavements, they'd go the wrong way up streets and stuff today, much like what we endure today in England. Isn't that interesting how we have all these people, Deliveroo drivers and all these Just Eat, what have you, that seem to drive the wrong way up streets, just nothing seems to happen to them. They seem to be able to do what they want, and there's no... I thought that was against the law to go the wrong way up a street. But I said to my girlfriend, I said, look, when you're crossing a road now, even if it's a one way, you would, only a few years ago, I'd look up the direction where the traffic's going to come from. But now I have to look both ways because I don't know if someone's coming up the other way. So I bring that up because another TV presenter, Nikki Campbell, his daughter was injured in a hit and run with one of these electric scooters. Now, this person, I don't believe, was a driver for one of these companies that delivers fast food to your house. But nevertheless, what my experience is of seeing these sort of things going on. And it's amazing how this country has become like it was going to Turkey in the mid-80s. That's called progression, folks. Some anti-Greyhound racing protesters stormed the Hard Rock Cafe. The main interest for me was it said it was in Westminster, and I thought, no, the Hard Rock Cafe, that's over Hyde Park Corner. I used to go there a lot when I was younger. There was these huge crowds. I'd be like 15, 16 at the time, and the food in there was expensive, what have you, but they'd let you'd have the huge huge line of people waiting to get in. But I found out that if you just wanted to go to the bar, they'd let you in. You could go to the upstairs bar or the downstairs bar. So I used to just go to the bar. I didn't drink at all until I was 19. And I'd just order a Coke and make that last as long as possible and think I was really sort of cool, sat in the Hard Rock Cafe in Hyde Park Corner drinking my Coke. It's probably a bit boring on reflection because you didn't have things like phones to look at and stuff there. Just sat there at the bar hoping someone would come and talk to you. And sadly, apart from the barman, I don't believe anyone ever did. Okay, Iceland is apparently going to hold a vote regarding whether it should join the European Union or not. And it's not even a vote to join, it's a vote to enter into talks to join, because they've been talking about this for a few years, and I think that there was a bit of pushback. One wonders, from their people, one wonders if they were part of the European Union in 2008, if they'd have got away with jailing the bankers they did, that they blame for the 2008 financial crisis. I guess we'll never know. Donald Trump, I've expressed my disdain for him. I think he's classless, and here is another example of how classless he is. I read in the mainstream media that he had put on his Truth Social account. Don't forget, folks, he has to have his own platform, his own account. He's too big to be on anything else, you know. It's Donald Trump here, this egomaniac. But what he did was he revealed, I knew that Keir Starmer was resigning on Monday. I mean, a lot of people suspected. They heard things in the media and stuff, but Trump actually confirmed it. So he's obviously been told in confidence by the UK, look, you know, we're telling you because you're the United States, but Keir Starmer is going to resign on Monday. And most people would keep it quiet and they'd know that. Okay. But Trump, of course, had to blurt it out. He knows it all. So he just put it on his Truth Social on Sunday. So I knew that he was going to resign. And I just feel that... I just think it's just disgusting behaviour. You know, I'm not a fan of Keir Starmer, as you know, but it's all about the way things are done and the way things aren't. And with something like that, you don't preempt the actual resignation by revealing it yourself because you've been told in confidence. It just, again, shows the measure of the man to me. But one story that I didn't read in the mainstream media at all, and I followed it, I went extensively through the mainstream media. I've done searches as well this morning because I'd rather read from a mainstream media source than the source I'm going to read from. Because if it was from a mainstream media source, then of course, you know, people would accept it more if you go from one of these sources, which I'm going to go for, from which, if I get in the right page, it just jumped over. Thank you. This is called MiddleEastEye.net. But it's the only site I can find for this. So I'm going to read the whole article for you. And as I say, I've not seen this debate covered, if it is a debate. I've not seen it covered in, certainly not the Daily Mail or the BBC. And I've been up and down those websites since this debate happened on Monday evening. I had a good look yesterday. So if, you know, I haven't seen it. So if it does exist, I apologise. But the only... some of the only coverage I've found is on this page. MiddleEastEye.net, the headline is Inside the Surreal UK Parliament Debate on Pro-Israel Influence Dominated by Lobby Group Members. MPs posed detailed questions about lobbying and transparency, while others who were members of pro-Israel groups made accusations of anti-Semitism. Now, this is by Imran Muller in London. It was published yesterday, 23rd of June at 16:06 British Summer Time. And here it is. I'll read it all for you. The UK Parliament's Westminster Hall saw a highly unusual debate on Monday evening on a petition to call a public inquiry into pro-Israel influence on politics and democracy. The petition, which received more than 118,000 signatures from members of the public, said, "We are concerned about reported Israeli state-linked and pro-Israel lobbying activity in UK politics. We believe it is important to determine the scope and impact of any such influence campaigns. Petitions to Parliament which receive more than 100,000 signatures are always debated on. However, this debate consisted mainly of Conservative and Labour MPs who are members of pro-Israel groups saying the petition was anti-Semitic, while a majority who spoke in favour of it posed detailed questions about lobbying and transparency which went unanswered. James Frith, a government minister and the Parliamentary Under-Secretary of State for Digital Government, said that the government do not support a public inquiry solely on pro-Israeli influence. He added, the UK and Israel have a deep and enduring relationship. 76 years ago, we were rightly proud to recognise the State of Israel. Our commitment to the security of it and its people remains unwavering. He further said, we should condemn the readiness, ease and tendency to hold 300,000 British Jews collectively accountable for the actions of the Israeli government. At that point, independent MP Adnan Hussein stood up and said, can I ask the minister why so many in this house, including himself, conflate the Jewish faith and Jewish people with the actions of the State of Israel? Hussein added, the petition does not do that, and that is not what has been said in this House. No matter how uncomfortable it may be for some in this chamber, the State of Israel stands accused of committing genocide in Gaza. Does he agree? Frith replied, I do not agree with that. Relevant to the debate, Frith is a member of the lobby group Labour Friends of Israel and has been on trips to Israel organised by the group. Subheading, this is not about Jewish communities. Conservative MP Andrew Mitchell, who was a minister in the Foreign Office under the last Tory government during Israel's genocide in Gaza, asked, why is Israel singled out in this way? Why not Gulf countries, Iran, Eastern Europe or the USA? He said, I fear the whole thing smacks of an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. Mitchell visited Israel in May 2025 on a trip funded by the lobby group Conservative Friends of Israel. An investigation into foreign financial interference in British politics, whose findings were published in April, the Ryecroft Review, concluded that the UK faces a persistent problem of foreign interests seeking to exert influence on and to interfere in our politics. Later in the debate, Independent MP Iqbal Muhammad remarked on the point about Israel being singled out. The Ryecroft Review focused specifically on Russia and China and did not mention Israel once. It was correctly carried out and nobody had any objections. Meanwhile, Tory MP John Lamont said, "For centuries at the heart of anti-Semitism has been the claim that Jews exercise secret control over governments, political systems, financial institutions, the media or public life. Rather than speaking explicitly about Jews, some speak about Zionists, the lobby, hidden influence networks or pro-Israel control." Lamont has visited Israel with Conservative Friends of Israel in the past, including last year. During the debate, Independent MP Ayub Khan said, "This is not about Jewish communities or Jewish identity, and it is not about denying anyone the right to advocate for Israel, Palestine or any other state. Lobbying is part of our democracy, but when such practices are shrouded in secrecy while shifting huge sums of money, we must ask, are this government truly committed to cleansing our politics of foreign influence, or are they just concerned with blocking the foreign donations they do not get?" Khan added that this year, Labour Friends of Israel, which funded many cabinet members, was reported to the Electoral Commission over concerns about opaque funding arrangements. Ministers in this government publicly identify themselves as members of that organisation, yet it is not registered as a members' association and therefore avoids the further disclosure requirements that accompany that status. That cannot be right. Khan further said, "Electoral records show that the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs has provided financial support to UK parliamentarians. That must be transparent." Afterwards came a contribution from Labour MP Peter Prinsley, who was earlier this year found in breach of parliamentary rules for failing to declare a trip to Israel funded by Labour Friends of Israel. He said, "Shame on those who have orchestrated this regurgitation of anti-Semitic tropes. It is as ancient just as it is predictable." Prinsley added, "In 1190, 57 Jews were slaughtered in Bury St Edmunds, then Norwich, Lincoln and York. Our country has a terrible record of anti-Jewish hatred, and all the Jews of England were expelled in 1290. Subheading, Israel meddling in our politics. Reform's deputy leader, Richard Tice, who visited Israel and met Israeli members last November on a trip funded by Reform Friends of Israel, stood up and declared, "This motion is anti-Semitic in its very motivation and at its core. As such, we should utterly reject it." He said that Britain should want more AI experts from Israel sharing that best practice and knowledge for the benefit of all of us. Independent MP Iqbal Muhammad intervened to ask whether Tice believed that we need more of the AI weapons that Israel has used to shoot at children's genitalia in Gaza. Tice responded, "The use of AI across society and its application in all industries are changing rapidly, but I gently suggest to the Honourable Gentleman that the best way to guarantee peace is to prepare for war so that our opponents respect us." Labour MP Tahir Ali argued that Israel had been meddling in our politics, referring to an Al Jazeera report in 2017 that a senior Israeli embassy official said he wanted to take down former Tory minister Alan Duncan for his criticism of Israel, for which the Israeli ambassador later apologised. Ali said, pro-Israeli lobby groups have paid hundreds of thousands in political donations in the UK. The amount of evidence, which I will refrain from sharing due to limited time, is countless. In his address, Mohammed cited a 2024 report by Declassified UK that 13 of the then 25 members of the Labour cabinet received hundreds of thousands in donations from pro-Israel donors, and that some 180 of Britain's 650 MPs had accepted such funding during their political careers. That is one in four elected members. He further pointed to reports that in December 2024, representatives of Elbit Systems met Home Office officials in a private meeting. Elbit Systems benefits from substantial British defence contracts. Subheading, Elbit Systems. Fellow independent MP Shokat Adam also discussed Elbit, Israel's largest weapons manufacturer. Adam said it was deeply alarming that freedom of information disclosures reveal repeated meetings between Elbit executives and the Home Office. Briefing papers show that ministers were preparing to reassure the company in response to Palestine action protests. Adam added, "It is disturbing that, while ministers meet privately with executives from a company whose weapons are alleged to have been used in acts now under scrutiny before the international courts, those who want to challenge those activities through protest increasingly face being associated with terrorism. The government banned Palestine Action as a terrorist organisation last summer." Adam asked the government, why was an arms manufacturer being reassured by government departments while international legal proceedings over the genocide in Gaza continued? Ultimately, the minister, James Frith, did not answer these questions or agree to an inquiry, instead reaffirming the deep and enduring relationship between Britain and Israel. But the debate did feature the airing of facts about Israeli lobby groups and meetings between ministers and Elbit Systems, which are rarely discussed in public forums in Westminster. Israeli forces have killed more than 73,000 Palestinians since the Hamas attack on 7th of October 2023, which killed 1,200 people. At least 173,000 Palestinians have been wounded. Thousands more in Gaza remain missing and are presumed dead beneath the rubble. The UK has cooperated militarily with Israel throughout its genocide in Gaza, including by sharing intelligence from surveillance flights over Gaza, which the Ministry of Defence has said was solely for hostage rescue purposes. And underneath it says, Middle East Eye delivers independent and unrivaled coverage and analysis of the Middle East, North Africa and beyond. So that's the article, and I apologise if it was lengthy for you, but as it's not reported anywhere else, I thought I would read it here. Why is the mainstream media not commentating on that debate? And another question I have is, when you consider all these different voices that were pro-Israel in that debate, is there any political party in Britain that is against Israel that you can support without risking being jailed for 14 years? I mean, or are all political parties that are against Israel, are they all proscribed? Well, what I did was I had a look, because I understand, not sure what the situation is with regarding to Restore Britain, Rupert Lowe's party, because of course Rupert Lowe was part of Reform, and he splintered off and formed his own party, Restore Britain. So what I did before I started recording this show is typed into Google, is Restore Britain anti-Israel? And this is the result I got from their AI overview. Restore Britain is not inherently anti-Israel, but its leadership and some factions within the party are deeply embroiled in scandals regarding extreme rhetoric with multiple figures. Party stance. The party, founded by Rupert Lowe, advocates a Britain first policy. Lowe has publicly expressed frustration with British politicians focusing on Middle Eastern affairs such as Gaza instead of domestic issues. And then we've got anti-Semitism concerns. Despite the party's official line on foreign policy, it faces major backlash and investigations from anti-hate organisations due to troubling associations. Several figures and active supporters of Restore Britain have been accused of expressing severe anti-Semitic rhetoric, including calling for the expulsion of Jews from Britain and using Jewish and using anti-Jewish tropes. Details on these ongoing controversies and the party's ideological positions are reported by the Jewish News and monitored by groups like Hope Not Hate. So that's the recommended websites there from the AI overview for you. Let's have a look at the show title is, of course, Reform Friends of Israel. And I typed in Reform Friends of Israel X.com earlier, and there is an X page called reformfriendsofisrael.com. It says one post at the top, or one posts. It's got a picture of Nigel Farage. He's on the right. He's talking to someone else. They've got some sort of coffee mugs in front of them. Underneath it says Reform Friends of Israel at RFO Israel, championing the UK-Israel relationship, the official account of Reform UK Friends of Israel. Join June 2026, 90 following, 2,420 followers. And I can't go in any further. Actually, it says RFO at RFO Israel hasn't posted. When they do, their posts will show up here. So the one post is probably that description I just read to you. So this sounds like a relatively new X.com page. What else have I got here? I just want to finish off with this headline from the BBC, again from yesterday, 23rd of June. It's by David Gritton and Stephanie Hegarty. I'll just read you the headline, then you can look it up if you want to read the article, because we're going to go over the half hour. I apologise for that. I didn't realise how long it would take to read the article I just did. Here is the BBC News headline. UN Commission of Inquiry says Israel committing genocide in Gaza by deliberately targeting children. Okay, so earlier on I talked about the heatwave in the UK. Last week I was listening to Gary Holland on the Jeff Rentz program, and he mentioned how he refuses to use air conditioning in Las Vegas, where he lives, even when the temperature's up in the 115 degrees Fahrenheit regions. And as I said, you know, at the moment it's 86 degrees Fahrenheit here. Just having a drink of water. But what he said he does instead is when he drives around, he has all the windows down, but he keeps with him a spray bottle, and he sprays himself when he's getting too hot. And what I did, I thought, what a great idea. I'll try that myself. And so firstly, I found like an old sort of plastic trigger bottle that might have had floor cleaner, polish, you know, Mr. Muscle, Mr. Sheen, something like that in it, in underneath my sink. I remember I used it for putting water and vinegar in, because that's supposed to get the smears off my glass shower door. I think it did for a while, and then I got bored of having to go through the trouble of cleaning it so often, so that's just been lying under the sink. So I'm very concerned about these sorts of things, and what I did was I washed it out with hot water about five times, and then I filled it, and I kept spraying. I had to change from hand to hand, because I've sprayed about half the contents out to make sure any remnants of what was in before. Because, of course, if you're spraying this in your face and there's any chemical remnants left, then you could be doing yourself all sorts of injuries. So I did that. I put it in the fridge, and it was quite good, but it was a bit too sort of powerful a jet. It's one of these things that only gives you one spray off or one spray. You can't adjust it. So that was the homemade idea. But then I went to a shop and I wanted to buy a sprayer. I couldn't see one anywhere. And someone said to me, one of the staff, oh, I just use these. And it was some sort of spray that was in like a deodorant can. And I just thought it was like water. You just spray it yourself. And I got it home. I tried it out. And I found there's all these chemicals in it. And I looked it up and it said that people can be allergic to all these chemicals. What's the point in putting all these things in there? So anyway, I sprayed it on my arm, and it felt, went cold a bit, felt all oily, and then when it started to dry, my arm started feeling really hot. I thought, what on earth is this? So I ended up taking them back, because I bought one for me, one for Amanda, and explained what had happened, and I asked if they did any sort of spray water bottles, because I'd looked elsewhere and all you can get is these little tiddly things that would go in your handbag, you know. For it's strange, and yeah, you get like a couple of them in a set of loads of other things, and you only want these two little things, and they're not going to stay cold for very long in something that's like, you know, 50 mil size, you know. So anyway, they had a sprayer, and it was a shop called Savers in the UK. It's called a misting spray bottle. It's 300ml, and it's £1.49, so it's not a lot of money. So I bought two of them, and they have worked brilliantly. Fill it with water, leave it in the fridge. Every time I need to use it, spray myself with it. And I can't do it now because I've got the headphones and my glasses on. I'd like to have tested it on the air. But you spray it in your face, on your head a few times. And the cool water, there's no chemicals in it. It's a great way of keeping cool, and it's helped me all the way through up to now. So that's my recommendation for you, and I hope you can find something wherever you are. But don't fall for all the aircon and stuff. It's lovely when you walk into a building like that. Most of us don't have it. Certainly in the UK, it's not a regular thing having aircon in your house or apartment. But this thing worked a lot better than I thought it would. So it's worth giving it a try. And if you do try a do-it-yourself like I did, make sure that you rinse and rinse and rinse, and make sure you sniff the bottle well and everything. You have to do that at your own risk if you're going to use something that had some sort of floor cleaner, what have you, in it before. It was okay for me, but I don't want you to. I would rather you just went and bought a clean bottle yourself. Okay, let's see what else I've got here. I think that's about it. So I'll go back to, well, I've got the script, which is the something for you to listen to section of the show, in which I tell you about the song you can listen to via the YouTube link in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Today's song is My Oblivion by Tindersticks, that was originally released on their 2003 album entitled Waiting for the Moon, which was the last Tindersticks album to feature the band's original lineup and the most recent one that I own. And here are the lyrics. She's my oblivion, it's to her I run. Out on the balcony, she waits for me. Out on the boundary, she smiles. She's my oblivion, which way to turn? The edges of our love are in the stars. And on the balcony, she waits for me. Out on the boundary, she smiles. Make this alive, good days are back. Open your eyes when it falls, come back to the air. I can't tell you what you already know. I can't make you feel what you already feel. I can't show you what's in front of you. I can't heal those scars. She's my oblivion, and my skin burns. Her hands all over me, she whispers, the edges of our love are in the stars. Good days are alive, good days are back. Open your eyes when it falls, come back to the air. So look down to the street below, don't look up to the stars above. You look around, see what's in front of you, don't look down, don't look down. Can you see the light? It shines onto us tonight. Can you see the light? It's all around you. Now, for me, this song is simply stunning. I'm going to leave it at that, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Okay, now for this week's film review, which is 1998's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I gave up on this film after only a few minutes in. I found it quite revolting, to be honest. Just have a drink of water. If you look on its Wikipedia page, you will see the director, Terry Gilliam, referred to the film as follows. I want it to be seen as one of the great movies of all time and one of the most hated movies of all time. Well, from my perspective, I think Terry Gilliam will be happy that I half agree with him. Also, on the film's Wikipedia page, Roger Ebert found Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas to be disgraceful, gave it one star, and summed the film up as follows. A horrible mess of a movie, without shape, trajectory or purpose, a one-joke movie, if it had one joke. The two characters wander witlessly past the bizarre backdrops of Las Vegas, some real, some hallucinated, all interchangeable, while zonked out of their minds. Humour depends on attitude. Beyond a certain point, you don't have an attitude, you simply inhabit a state. In conclusion, going back to me now, I need to be a bit more discerning with regard to what DVDs I buy. And Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is something I need to learn from. Just because it was only 50p doesn't mean it was worth spending the time I did on it. I have never liked a Terry Gilliam film, so why would I have thought I would have liked this? Beware of the time stealers, folks. Just because you can pick up a DVD for 50p, something I often advocate, If that ends up being a waste of your time, what could you have done with that time? Forget the 50p, the time is more precious. Okay, so let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. And I'm going to go straight to the BBC News top 10 because I want to keep the show time down as low as possible, as I said earlier. So I'm just waiting for that to load up. So we scroll down to their top 10 headlines. Number 10, largest maternity review in NHS history to be published. Number 9, world's... Oh, on that note, largest maternity review in NHS history to be published, I was suicidal from day one, it seems, because when I was born, I had the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. And it was apparently very difficult, and the nurse or the midwife, I believe, said to my mother, look, stop, stop, you've got to be careful, stop, stop, he's got, and they managed to untangle me, and then I got to live this delightful life that I've lived ever since. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, so number 10, largest maternity review in NHS history to be published. Number 9, world's oldest football in Miami for Scotland's game against Brazil. Number 8, Sydney woman wakes from induced coma more than a week after shark attack. Number 7, want to feel happier at work, take a 5-minute walk. That's what I advocated for people. You know when you're at work and people are always concerned about what you're getting that they're not? Back then I used to smoke cigarettes, and so I'd get a smoking break. And earlier in my career, you could pretty much go out when you wanted, unless you're out all the time and they might say something. But then the last couple of jobs, you were limited to like one break, you know. Everything they clamp down on, you're off sick, you don't get paid, all this sort of stuff. Again, it shows how the country's improving. But I would say to people that didn't smoke, I said, well, you can still go out for a break. Just because I go out and have a cigarette, you can go out and have a walk. Why don't you do that? And of course, they didn't have an argument for that because they were just looking to find fault, as so many people sadly are. Okay, number 6, mugs in drawers and watches in cupboards. What police pictures tell us about Peter Murrell's illicit purchases? He's the guy that was married to that woman who was running the SNP, that whose name I forget right now, but I think Boris Johnson called her that damn cranky woman. Wee Jimmy Cranky, a lot of Nicola Sturgeon. I'll get there one day. Number 5, the UK summers are getting hotter, but how prepared are we? Number 4, heat engulfs UK and Ghana be all right. Number 3, 10 years on, Brexit's economic impact is becoming clearer. The 10-year anniversary, I believe, was yesterday. Number 2, Congress passes war powers measure for first time breaking with Trump over Iran. And number 1, Burnham likely to replace Reeves if he becomes Prime Minister. And Reeves is our current Chancellor of the Exchequer. I'm going to go back to this world's oldest football in Miami because I think it's an actual football, and it is. Excuse me, there's a picture of it at the top. Doesn't look like any football that you would see today. It said it was discovered at Stirling Castle during renovation work in the 1970s, and it's believed to date from between 1540 and 1570. And it was found in the 1970s, lodged in the rafters behind the Queen's Chamber at Stirling Castle. It will be displayed at the Coral Gables Museum in Florida until Saturday, as well as being shown at the Scotland match on Wednesday. I think I heard some people saying 24th of June in Miami was going to be some major event, and this is the latest thing that the doommongers, it's the latest date that they've pulled out, so a lot of people are tying that to this Scotland-Brazil match. So let's go over to the Daily Mail, see what's going on at the top of that page right now. I imagine it's something about the weather. No, Jude Bellingham accused of sweary outburst by Ghana manager during disappointing 0-0 draw as lip reader reveals foul-mouthed exchange between ex-Manchester United assistant and Thomas Tuchel, who's the English coach. Bill Gates admits to multiple affairs, including Russian nuclear scientist in Epstein testimony before House. And I'm going to leave it at that. Let's go over to the Independent News now, see what's happening over there. The Independent Media, some call it the alternative media. We'll start off with rents.com. Go over there. I just heard his third hour actually yesterday with David John Oates, Reverse Speech. So, is that loaded up or not? Am I too far down? Let's see. Yeah, I've gone too far, waiting for it to load up. Top story, Senator Lindsey Graham reveals what's coming. Trump will take the Strait of Hormuz by force. Departing Switzerland, Iran's top negotiator insists Strait of Hormuz will be managed by Tehran. And all the top headlines here relate to this conflict between the United States and Iran. And there's obviously a bit of Lebanon in there as well, if you want to go to rents.com and explore that further. Let's go over to halturnerradioshow.com. There was a story of interest to me in the UK at the very top of the website. I'll read you the start of that. Headline, British Storm Shadow missiles used to attack Russia. NATO is now party to the conflict. Yesterday, June 22nd, 2026, that's 2 days ago, but this article was published yesterday, Britain and Ukraine carried out a historic attack upon Russia, with Ukraine firing British Storm Shadow cruise missiles deep into Russia, striking Voronezh. The date is also historic. It was 85 years ago yesterday, on June the 22nd, 1941, that Germany launched Operation Barbarossa, attacking the then Soviet Union in World War II. The attack using British Storm Shadow and French Scout missiles was authorised by British Prime Minister Keir Starmer before he resigned as Prime Minister. This is by far the biggest escalation of the Ukraine-Russia war. Both British Storm Shadows and French Scout missiles must be guided to target actively by US and NATO military satellites. Active guidance. That means that while Ukraine pulled the trigger, NATO member countries have now actively guided the attack inside Russia. NATO is now a party to the conflict is written in red. Russia President Vladimir Putin warned against this on television over a year ago, and there's the interview on that page if you want to look at it, and we will see what the outcome is. It says here Putin said that if Ukraine were empowered to strike deep into Russia with Western weapons like Storm Shadow missiles, it would mean direct NATO participation, and Russia would react appropriately. So we'll have to see if we're going to come under fire here in the UK. Let's go over to earthnewspaper.com. Mark R. Elsis website. That's not loading up at the moment, so we'll go over to beforeitsnews.com and we'll finish it off with the beforeitsnews.com top 10. So I'm waiting for that to load up and scrolling down to number 10. Here we go. Went up 7 days ago, 61 people viewing, The Age of Infertility, Why It's Happening and What You Can Do About It, free ebook. Number 9 went up 8 hours ago, 74 people viewing, David Nino Rodriguez and Juan O'Savin, huge, 6/24/26, America's Hidden Threat. Number 8 went up 6 hours ago, 87 people viewing, D-Class Trump X Accounts Confirm, Q, 6/24/26, NYC Socialist Takeover, PSYOP Perceptions. Number 7 went up 5 hours ago, 92 people viewing, Byington Bombshell Report, Global Crisis, EBS, Mainstream Media, Blackout, All Imminent. Number 6 went up 12 hours ago, 107 people viewing, Alpha, White House, Q Post, 6/23/26, JFK Jr. is Alive, Election Trap. Number 5 went up 11 hours ago, 109 people viewing, Live X22 Report, Deep State World is Imploding Around Them, Activation, World Confirmed, The Storm is On, The Headline Runs Out. Number 4 went up 13 hours ago, 117 people viewing, Kim Go-Gwan, Full Situation Update, 6/23/26, New Power Faction Emerging. Number 3 went up 12 hours ago, 160 people viewing, Gene Decode, Big Intel, 6/23/26, You Must Hear This. Number 2 went up 6 hours ago, 181 people viewing, Judy Byington, Juan O'Savin and Charlie Ward, Trump Breaking News, 6/24/26, The Trump Admin Just, and The Headline Runs Out. I wish the people who put up posts would realise the amount of characters you have for the headline box is going to be a lot lower than the headline that they want to put up. And number one went up 14 hours ago, 197 people viewing. And we know 6:23:26, quantum dominance, every detail accounted for. White House post 17 comms, awakening, pray. Okay, so let's call it a show. I want to thank all of you for joining me today for I'm Talking to You, episode 266, Reform Friends of Israel. There'll be Bible readings up until Sunday when there'll be the parables. And I'll be back again next week. Until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and bye for now.